recorded live from the lobby of the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. Full Service Radio is proudly supported and hosted by Simplecast, the easiest way for a podcast creator to publish and distribute audio on the internet. For more information, visit simplecast.com.
Hi, everybody, and thank you for joining us for a special edition of Industry Night on fullserviceradio.org. As you can imagine, I am not in the lovely Line Hotel. I'm in my bedroom, in my pajamas, as I'm sure are most of you. It has been an insane couple of days, really. I'd like to go back a little bit and talk about the fact that about a week ago, we were all going about our lives knowing full and well that there was a coronavirus out there and that we needed to wash our hands, we needed to use sanitizer. I don't think anybody saw the state of affairs that we are in right now. I want to thank my guest who's joining us today, Kathy Hollinger, President and CEO of the Restaurant Association of Metropolitan Washington. I know for a fact she has been working 24/7, or maybe more like 48/7, helping restaurants, helping those in the food industry figure out the lay of the land, because it is changing not day by day, not hour by hour, but literally minute by minute. So Kathy, I want to thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, Nick, thanks so much for having me on. And yes, I mean, this is all uncharted waters for everyone involved. So I
Yeah, I appreciate it. So let's start from the beginning. I mean, I when you and I talked about doing this, I mean, there was a whole other world out there happening, and now it has changed drastically. Let's get the state of affairs for the restaurant community right now. What's happening out there?
Yeah, I mean, I'd first, you know, I think it's so important, as you stated. I mean, the resilience of our industry is just remarkable given how quickly everyone has had to adapt, because updates are minute by minute. And the minute that we put our arms around, okay, this is what the new normal is, in these 15-minute blocks, it changes. So there is really no industry that can adapt as quickly. So today, a lot of what we shared and what I will share and what is being shared is really real time, but a lot of what has happened is on the city council level and also in Virginia. But the DC City Council had an emergency session today to vote in this emergency relief package. And candidly, you know, again, for everybody, including the elected officials, this is uncharted territory. So they are taking information and getting feedback, but they're thinking about like layers and ripples in terms of impact. But what they did pass, which goes into effect immediately once the mayor signs it, which she will, is the following. Mm-hmm. There are grants and loans for eligible small businesses to cover employee wages, to cover operating expenses, and loan repayment. Now, the definition of what that is very, very broad, so it will cover our industry. The questions that are out there are, okay, this is an emergency action that has now been put in place for the mayor now to act to administer those funds in an immediate and streamlined fashion. But, you know, they got to find the money, and they will. And it's just a matter of hour by hour what is being put in place for people to be able to access that very quickly. And how much is that relief?
Well, and I mean, I think that's really, you know, part of the problem has been since the beginning, when all this seemed like, but the writing was on the wall, is everybody's like, well, you got to pay your employees. Well, you got to do this. Well, you got to do that. Well, the government should do this. The government should do that. I'm all for it. Don't get me wrong. But there's got to be money. We can all say the sky is blue when the sky is blue. But on days that it's gray, it's gray. So, you can't make it happen.
No, you can't make it happen. And as we have moved from advisories and recommendations to mandates, I mean, everything is changing in a way where the small business operator has to make real-time decisions around what they are going to do in their operation and who they need to be a part of that operation. What I will say is astounding and admirable is that, yes, all of these restaurant owners and chefs, what is top of mind is how am I going to take care of my people? Uh-huh. I mean, that is what they are saying. That is what is heartbreaking. But our job as an association is, yes, how are we going to figure out the role we can play to ensure that there is relief in place immediately, and then there is relief that is in place in a few days or within a week. And then there is recovery, which is a very, very different conversation that we don't know when that would begin. But to know that these are all the layers of relief that at least we are thinking about as a trade organization. So let me go through more of what happened today. Great. So there's the grants and loans for eligible small businesses to use it as they need to use it. There is sales tax relief, and that is to be able to defer the filing up to 90 days without any penalty, but also the payback of what would have to be filed starting March 20th, which I believe is Saturday, to September 30th. So that is very real. That is sales tax relief for the operator. The flip side of that is, how does that relief play into sales if you're not in a position to have sales because you're closed? So that is, again, as this is evolving incredibly rapidly, these are all considerations, but it's the idea that today, as you are choosing to operate in this very modified manner, we have tax relief that is in place. This other piece of it is they have created the language and authority for restaurants to be granted the ability to provide wine, beer, and spirits in closed containers with food deliveries and pickups.
So there has to be food as a part of it.
There has to be a minimum of one item of prepared food in the order.
Uh-huh.
Now, when is that happening? This emergency legislation is designed to be effective immediately, but there are a couple steps. Like, the board approval that currently is in place with ABRA is not required, but there has to be written authorization from ABRA prior to the beginning takeout or delivery.
Okay, that for is people what who for. Don't know what ABRA is, can you explain? Because there's
Alcohol Beverage Regulations Authority or Authority.
Mm-hmm.
So in order to attach beer, wine, or spirits to your takeout delivery, you have to pause. The first step was creating language to allow the authority for that to be done. And I will say to you, Nick, candidly, you know, we're working as fast as our tiny selves can to push things through the process. But this was what needed to happen at the moment in order for the immediate to happen, which may be in a day or two.
Mm-hmm.
So I say all of that to say that, you know, we're flooded with texts, emails, calls. When can that happen? Well, today the first step happened to allow for that, allow restaurants to be granted the ability to provide that.
So it's a step. It is a step in the right direction, right? Like,
100%. And candidly, nobody on the council, they all agreed that needed to happen. So there's no hesitation. It's just everyone is trying to work in, you know, proper expedited fashion, knowing that there are 500 things just like this that are urgent matters in a time of emergency.
Well, because although, listen, you and I are in the restaurant industry, and this is what's, you know, restaurants, hospitality, you know, small providers. I mean, this is what's in your, in my purview, but this is affecting right. every industry. It's not
every industry, schools, hospitals. Mm-hmm. I mean, we are one layer, and I will say kudos to the city for listening to our industry, knowing that we are the backbone of this economy here in this market. I mean, the amount of dollars that restaurants generate in terms of sales tax is significant. So they don't want us to be closed. Trust me, right. They do not want us to be closed. And they want us to be able to pull in revenue and be successful. So
well, let's just talk yeah. about what that looks like for a second, because I think there's a lot of confusion out there about this sort of takeout policy. So I have a huge list on the list, areyouonit.com, of every single restaurant, bakery, bar, whatever, who is offering either curbside or delivery. But what are the confines of that? What is that supposed to look like?
So basically, either if you were an operator, if you were a restaurant that already did takeout and delivery, that is what you continue with that. It's really the people that have not done it. How are they transitioning and adapting their model to a takeout delivery model only? Takeout can mean come into the restaurant and pick up your food
and get out.
Or curbside and get out. But there is no on-premise dining allowed. Zero. So that is what is the biggest difference. We went from an advisory to this amount of people can be in your space. Now we are mandated that at least in Washington, D.C., you cannot have any on-premise dining whatsoever. Your restaurant can go to a takeout and delivery option only, takeout being both pickup from the restaurant or curbside drive up if that operation is offering that. The other thing is that if you are a restaurant that has a tendency to have a high takeout concentration, create methods within your operation where you do not have gatherings of people waiting to pick up their takeout. Have a few in the restaurant, and then make sure you have a line that's formed outside of the restaurant. And this is all in consideration of the CDC's recommendation of social gatherings of 10 or more. Okay. So that is important. Now, that is where we are with the takeout and delivery. And that is what we are seeing across the country in cities. Mm-hmm. That we talk to, but we all are seeing constantly through various news feeds that people are moving to that model, and the restaurant operators are ensuring that they are putting the practices in place to do it in a safe manner. Now, the other piece of this is relief in the form of protections for small businesses and for residents. So prohibition of evictions for residents and businesses during the declared public health emergency.
Wow.
So a landlord-tenant complaint cannot even be served until after the emergency. That's a big deal for our folks who are cash strapped.
It's a really big deal. Think about the restaurants that were just waiting to be open. Maybe, you know, they had 30 days to open up a restaurant. They're at day 25.
Right, exactly. So these are important protections that have been put in place, but also employees who become unemployed as a result of the public health emergency are now, well, they're eligible for unemployment insurance. The wait time is eliminated, but what they did, which was incredibly controversial, as we were all pushing to raise the unemployment benefit in terms of dollar amount that an employee would get. They are hopefully going to revisit that so that weekly that weekly benefit in the form of dollars is raised from the, I think it's $444. It's raised. But what they did do in the meantime is they expanded eligibility to the partially employed worker who has been given reduced work hours due to the public health emergency to be eligible for those UI benefits. So that is important to know, because it could be that an operator has to have those heart-wrenching conversations with their team around laying them off at that time and hoping that they are going to be reemployed in the very near future. I can't even imagine those kind of conversations. Mm-hmm. But it's also important for those who are modifying their business models, who have to potentially keep a certain workforce, skeletal workforce in place, but they are reduced in their hours and their pay. Right. They are also eligible to benefit from UI unemployment insurance benefits.
Oh, well, I think that'll be very helpful to the people out there. One of the things I'm seeing on social media a little bit as, for example, I saw it with Dan Simons with the Founding Farmers Group. You know, they had a ton of people go. And the layperson who's not in the industry doesn't understand that letting people go allows them to get unemployment. And then if they don't let them go, so I think there's a missing message out there that nobody, you know, there was this whole thing about, well, if you have to let your employees go, you better pay them. Or if they have to work, you have to pay them. And, you know, that's not how this industry works. It works because we go out to eat, we pay money, and then they can pay their employees, like almost every business, right? No, very few businesses work altruistically. Nobody wants to let their staff go. It is not done because they want to, or that they're, you know, big greedy corporations, you know, keeping all their money in their little mitts. It's because when they do that, these people can now collect unemployment and then hopefully in the very new future be rehired, right?
That's right. That's right. And I think in this situation, look, in the coming weeks, the city council may revisit increasing the UI funding formula, okay? But right now, and we've been advocating for this increase for days, which seems like years, but for days, hoping to see some movement to reflect an increase where 444 can be increased, you know, candidly to 1,000. But it's a formula of benefits that is much more complex than my mind can.
Right. It's totally above my pay grade. I'm completely with you.
Completely. So I will say this is that yes, if you are partially transitioned out, you can benefit from unemployment insurance in DC. If you are fully transitioned out, you can also do that. What I will advise is this, because restaurant owners need to know this. So they need to pass information along to their employees of how to register. And we have sent out that link to show this is where you would have your team register for unemployment insurance. And Nikki, at some point I can just push that out to you in terms of that
link.
Of course,
and I will get it out on social media, and also we'll blast it to the list.
That's terrific. And they're advising that, you know, people do it online. They can also call if they have questions, but they're discouraging people for many, many reasons and some obvious in doing it in person. And to be patient from this standpoint, the volume of applications is increasing. So there are people who are stating that they have experienced some difficulty with the Department of Employment Services.
Is that your glass of wine that you're putting down on the table while we're talking?
But it was my glass of no water water. So I apologize.
Next time we do this, I'm going to make sure we both have glasses of wine while we're talking about this, but go ahead.
I mean, among several other things. Yes. Yeah. So, The other thing that's important, and again, this is like buried in, but it's important for the owners to know, is for employers, you know, when one of your employees receives unemployment benefits, they are also charged as an employer in this experience rating account, which is difficult to explain. But the point is that all those fees and will be waived. So as you are putting your people on unemployment, to know that for you as an employee, you are not being financially penalized in any way.
That's got to be very helpful to the industry. I mean, that has to be very helpful.
I hope it is. And then utility disconnection protection provided for businesses and residents. It's, you know, the necessary utilities, Pepco, Washington Gas, water, that you will not be disconnected, understanding that, you know, there has to be prioritization around how and what you're paying at a time when cash is not coming in. So this is the crux of it. The reality, that's the crux of what's happening in DC. And again, you and I may get off of this call. What I do know is this is what has been passed in emergency session. I know that in Virginia, the Commonwealth recommended limiting gatherings to 10 or less. It's not required, but I believe it's highly recommended. But again, it could have been changed even recently. I don't think that they ordered any closure of restaurants, but for sure are recommending limiting gatherings to 10 or less. And unemployment funding is available due to the declaration of the emergency. So that is now separately, this is important and something to share. On a federal level, while we are waiting to see what our local jurisdictions across the region are doing to offer financial relief, grants, and loans, we are absolutely encouraging our small business operators to begin their application for the federal disaster loans through the Small Business Administration. Okay. And there is a link that I sent out. And again, that's another link that I can share, but it is the SBA Disaster Loan Assistance Application Form. It is disasterloan.sba, hold on, .gov/ELA/information. That is where you can begin putting together your application, because the minute in DC, Virginia, or Maryland, that SBA loan link goes live, because there is a process for each jurisdiction to petition to get that relief, which has happened. It is the idea that the minute it goes live, people can, they'll have their packages ready to submit their application. Now those are loans, which are different than grants, but for some restaurants and some operations, that is going to be critical. If you are a restaurant that requires a significant more in terms of capital, right? And you would prefer to go on a loan versus a grant that may get you through a short period of time. So, you know, we've also, Nick, I think you've seen and you've shared, if I remember all that's been shared in the last 48 hours, we have some local grassroots efforts that are happening around us to help workers. And we at the association are collaborating with Hook Hall Helps.
Can we talk about that?
What so is, they're helping.
I'm a little unclear on exactly what they're doing.
Yeah, I'll tell you. So they are an alliance, a group that has come together to help to ensure that workers have access to to-go meals and supplies. So operators and companies can donate supplies, perishables, meals, financial support. Very, very candidly, as this has moved forward so quickly, what I wanted to make sure that we could do as an association is somewhat host this effort so that they have the ability to collect the resources that they need to as a trade association and on our foundation side, so that they can offer this access to workers. Again, you know, Nikki, that we represent the business community, the small business community, but our business community, the majority of their concerns at the moment are rooted in their employees. So this is another effort that we have put together, but candidly, it is a work in progress. So as we get more information there, we will be sharing that so that people are very clear on how people get that help, how people are getting the to-go meals and supplies, and the system that is in place to ensure that as many are being assisted versus a small collective.
Well, that's very helpful because, you know, there are so many people who want to do something, right? They want to, you know, there's a lot of great ideas out there. I read something today that was like, think of a gift card to a restaurant or a small store as like a war bond, right? It's an investment now for later, which I love that kind of thought process. And then, you know, you've got Think Food Group, who is doing, putting their kitchens to work through World Central Kitchen. You have the counties, Montgomery County and Arlington County. David Guas is out there. We've got all these people trying to get food to whether it's kids who rely on the government for extra food, you know, for meal service, or, you know, people who don't have access on a regular basis that get help. So keeping that information out there is so important. And it is ever changing because as the rules change from what we're allowed to do and how we're allowed to access that food, keeping that information out there is going to be very, very important.
Very important. And candidly, this is again why I'm, you know, every hour on the hour, I am just increasingly impressed by our community here of restaurant owners and operators.
Oh, I mean, it is, if I could just,
what they do,
if I could just join you in that. I mean, talk about turning on a dime, right? Like they're told, you know, with very little notice, your world as you know it has just changed. I mean, we all have been told that, but they're like, fine, got it, delivery, on it. It is amazing. And then you have the others who are like, I mean, I look at Jose, who's like, and I'm just shutting down and I'm going to feed people for free. You know, I'm going to do something totally different. And I think it is all commendable. Everybody is doing the best that they can, given the current circumstances. And I think your plea earlier is really important. Patience, while a virtue, is very tough. And everybody does need to be patient because we still don't know what this looks like. And it is going to take some time.
Yeah. It's going to take some time. Again, when we get into the recovery mode, it's going to look different and the needs are going to be different. But I will just, I'll say this, Nikki, on a personal note. You know, every year I try not to be that person that, you know, I identify resolutions in the new year, but I try to focus more on what is one word I need to focus on that is my operating mantra for the year. And it's interesting because my word for 2020 was pause. And I think it is so important as we all really need to do that because we are going to be okay at the end of this and on the other side. And there is going to be some devastation. And there is going to, and that can look differently to many, many different people. But again, we are incredibly resilient and we have had to deal with hardship many, many times over and over again, whether it's personal or professional, but we do rise. And I will say that we are trying to get the best information, the best resources, the best tools. You, Nikki, are trying to do the same exact thing so that at least as people are navigating this very uncertain time, they have a little bit of what they may need to get through each day or each week. And, you know, I think we're all going to have to lead with our heart as much as we can during this uncertain time. And we're also going to have to lean on one another. But again, kudos to the business owners here who have, on a dime, as you mentioned, just completely redirected their focus to think about how can we be a food source, whether it's still with our diners, with takeout and delivery, whether it's for those who are not going to necessarily afford to have meals for a period of time. Really, I mean, it's an industry locally that should be commended. And we will be reminding everybody around the region how much our restaurant industry has really risen to the occasion during a very challenging time.
That's a perfect place to end it there, Kathy. Kathy Hollinger with the Restaurant Association of Metropolitan Washington, working very, very hard to help the local restaurant community survive the pandemic and help them feed others as well and feed us. So Kathy, just give everybody some websites for people in the industry and maybe the lay people where they can go for the latest information.
Yeah, I mean, really, I think the best thing to do is we are posting everything in very regularly to remw.org. And that is where step by step, what you need to do in terms of supporting your workers or having them file for unemployment, to some of the information around what is being passed and what has been passed in terms of relief efforts, as well as mandates and recommendations. So ramw.org is a great landing place for information.
And to all of you who are joining us today, I really greatly appreciate, Kathy, first, your time. I know how busy you are right now. And for you for tuning in to this special issue of Industry Night, this will not be the only one. I am talking to the COO of World Central Kitchen on Thursday at 4 to talk about what they're doing and the way that they are feeding the public. You can find out every restaurant that is doing takeout and delivery on the list areyouonit.com. I also post everything that Kathy Hollinger and RAMW puts out in the Buzz section, so it is all there for you. Also, check out community service. There's lots of it happening around the DC metro area. We have a list of every restaurant and organization that is participating in some way, shape, or form. I want to thank Alexia, our producer. We're doing this very differently, but so is the state of affairs. So Alexia, thank you for helping us put this together. And I thank you, the listeners. Please be safe, be healthy, stay home as much as you can, use that hand sanitizer, and hopefully we'll get through this together.